This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
The time is 8:07. Overcast skies, 16 degrees, a wind chill factor of 5 at our downtown studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Friday, December the 6th of 2024 edition of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up this morning, Brittany Merlot is taking the day off, so she will not be with us at 8:21 as she normally is, but we still have a full slate of activity as coming up at 8:34 this morning, and I hope he's not a little cranky because I know he was up very, very, very late. He was at Ford Field in Detroit last night, and then in the locker room after the game, getting the sound that you'll be hearing throughout the day here on Civic Media. Doing his work, putting it all together, and who knows? I'm not even sure he got to bed because he was so busy. It was such a big game. It was such an exciting game. But we'll get the breakdown on what happened last night in Detroit as the Packers fell to the Detroit Lions by a score of 34-31. Our Civic Media sports reporter, Mike Clemens, will be joining us from Detroit coming up at 8:34 this morning, and really quite a game. And we'll get all the information on what the Packers had to say afterwards in the locker room and from the coach and everybody else. So Mike Clemens joining us at 8:34. And then we will have our general Wisconsin sports segment. I know he has some thoughts on the Packer game last night, but also we'll look ahead to tomorrow's big Marquette Wisconsin men's basketball game and the Bucks playing better basketball. They have a big one with the Celtics tonight. We'll talk Wisconsin sports with Paul Miklick coming up at 9:20 this morning. And then, of course, we will wrap up our Friday. We'll wrap up our week with our daily history lesson in the final segment of the program. Talk about some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. Talk about some of the celebrity birthdays. Talk about some of the events that we should acknowledge for today. And then when we get to the final couple of minutes of the show, we have our number for the day. And instead of just giving it to you, we make it a quiz. And we do it with Ian Welsh, our in-studio engineer and producer. And we always seem to have a pretty good run here lately. Pretty good in terms of Ian having at least a passing grade and often winning reeks. Mm-hmm. As we give him three choices every day. And based on the math, I mean, if you just guess, you should get one out of three, just, you know, based on the math. So if you get 33% or better, it's a passing grade. If he gets more right than wrong, it's a winning week. He's had a week where he got 4 out of 5 right, 80%. Still trying for that perfect week of 100%. He's also never had a 0% week.
No, I have not.
And this week, on Monday, nope, didn't get it right.
Nope.
On Tuesday?
Nope.
Nope, did not get it right. On Wednesday? Wrong again.
Nope.
Yesterday? I thought for sure yesterday you're going to come through. Nope, did not get it right.
I did not.
So 0 for 4. So we already know that it's not going to be a week with a passing grade. And that happens. It yeah, your percentage for passing grades is still very, very good. I mean, you've been very, very good in that. Rarely have you had a week where you didn't get a passing grade. But you've gone all the way this week. But the thing about today is, can you avoid the goose egg? Can you avoid the big zero? And that's people hang around. I think this is going to be very, very interesting today. So,
absolutely.
Stick around the last moments of our show just before 10 o'clock. We will find out if Ian Welsh can make the grade, at least get one right this week. But you hear his voice. He is our in-studio engineer and producer. He is Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, I guess the first thing I have to ask you is that how did it go last night? You were part of the cast of True Magic, and according to your castmates that we had here yesterday, you were the star of the show. You didn't tell me that, but I said it.
I don't know about that.
Well, they said you were. I said everything rotates around your character, so you're the man. But last night was opening night, the first of three performances at 7 o'clock at First Presbyterian, correct?
Yep, First Presbyterian Church in Wausau.
Well, how did it go?
Oh my gosh, we had so much fun last night. For a Thursday night, a crowd, and with a Packer game going on as well, I think we actually had a pretty good turnout of people. We had a pretty decent-sized audience. We got some really good reactions as well, a lot of laughs. As an overall, I think just everybody in the show had a fantastic time, and just we had a lot of great feedback from audience members after the show, and I think we're very excited to, you know, have double the fun tonight, our second show.
Oh, you're gonna lift it up even a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's fantastic. And again,
I don't worry about a Packer game.
Well, and the thing about that as well is, I mean, the world can't stop because of the Packer game. That's the way I look at it. I really believe that. The schedules for shows probably are made well in advance, and of course sometimes happens that it falls where there's a Thursday night Packer game. But in the end, there's some people that still would want to go out, and as we talked about yesterday, I mean, even if they wanted to see the game, I mean, the most exciting part was in the second half, so they didn't miss any of that. They could go see your show and then watch the game as well. But I'm glad folks came out. I'm glad that it was a terrific performance. But the thing about it is, if folks did not go and see it last night, you can still have two more opportunities to do it tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
We still have plenty of tickets available at the door. If you want to, you can take us at the door, or you can also get them on our River and Woods Facebook page as well. We do have a link on there so you can buy the tickets as well. It's a really fun show. It's a lot of laughs and a lot of heart and a good way to kickstart the holiday season, absolutely.
And my plan is to try to get there tomorrow night because I'm working again tonight. And it's nice to have three shows because I worked last night, I worked tonight, and then tomorrow night I work in the afternoon with a game. So then I will be able to be free in the evening and see you and your castmates. And they were very good yesterday. It was really nice to have them in studio and to be able to talk about the program. And
I got to share our radio interview with the rest of the casts are through a messenger as well. I sent them a link to our episode. I told them a time slot of where the interview starts, so they didn't have to go searching for it.
Oh, terrific. Very good. So, again, congratulations on a great start. Best of luck tonight as you continue, and hopefully everything will go fantastic
As the show was over, I got to be home just in time for the second half of the Packer game, and boy, was I on the edge of my seat, and so was my dad. And oh my gosh, it was, I really thought the Packers were going to, you know, hold on there because they were getting some good first downs. They were able to push through the defense of the Lions and get some good touchdowns, but then
it was just back and forth. I mean, it was
a tie at the end. And then
neither team could really slow down the other team very often in the second half.
No.
And in the end, it just turned out that Detroit had the ball last. I mean, I think that was one of those games where
that the Packers were going to do the same thing they did with the Bears when they had the field goal at Hampton, just block it. But no, it didn't happen this time. I thought they could push it into overtime, but no, It didn't happen this time.
Well, it's one of the, yeah, I mean, that was, it came down to it. He needed to find a way to get that block kick. But
there's a reason that the Lions are a tough team and have this
11 wins in a row now.
A 12, actually.
I think they're 12-1 overall. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, they were 11-1 before the game.
Right, but they won 11 in a row because they won their first game. Then they lost their second game, and they've won every game since then. So if they're 12-1, no. So you're right. They have 12 wins overall, but they won 11 straight. The bottom line, though, is if by chance the Packers play Detroit in the playoffs, I got to think they got to feel confident going in there. They were toe to toe. It was one of those games that really could have gone either way.
Yeah,
they made some big plays. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the Packers, we'll find out with Mike Clemens what the attitude was in the locker room a little bit later on. But I got to think that they feel like, hey, if they get an opportunity in the playoffs to go to Detroit again, because with this loss, now the Packers cannot catch Detroit. The only team that can catch Detroit is Minnesota. The Vikings
and the Packers have three games in the regular season?
Are they now? So it's four more. Four more. Okay. And they still have the next two are still at night. This is a weird streak.
Correct?
What was that?
The next two games are on Thursdays as well.
No, the next game is on on a Sunday night, and then they have that Monday night game remembering that Monday night game because that's where we had the contest months ago where we gave away some sky boxes where on the day after or at the 23rd, I believe it is, when they play New Orleans, we gave away tickets to one of the luxury suites so they don't have to sit outside.
But the Packers still have a good chance. I think they're in pretty good shape. If they can, you know, win their next few games, I think they have a good shot at making it to the playoffs this year.
Oh, they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Yes, they are. They would have to completely collapse for that to happen. The rest of the season, a week from Sunday, they travel to Seattle. And it's interesting because if the playoffs were to start today, based on the standings, the first playoff game would be in Seattle. So this could be a playoff preview just like last night was.
Oh.
So the Packers play the Seahawks in Seattle on Sunday Night Football on the 15th. Then they play the Saints on Monday Night Football after that, so two more night games. And then the final two games, they have the Vikings coming up in the next to last week, and then the Bears in the final week of the regular season. So some interesting games still to come, and should be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
We're going to talk about Elon Musk coming up because we had a story that broke yesterday that just is amazing. Amazing.
Good or amazingly bad?
I would say it's amazingly bad, but you can be the judge of it when we talk about it coming up next. I shake my head if you could see me right now. The time is 8:18. Glad you could be with us here on this Friday morning. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We'd like you to join us as well. You can call us or text us at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. And again, We want you to be part of the show. If there's something we're talking about that you want to respond to, if there's something we're not talking about, you'd like to talk about, let us know. And I want to know about this next story. Because I got home last night. I was I did a couple of basketball games. I get home, and then I decided to check out what was going on, went online and checking out things. And I saw over the social media a story about Elon Musk. And
all right, now let's hear it.
But the thing about it is, I mean, this is not anything personal about Elon Musk. This is about the money he spent in the last election and talking about our system of government, our democracy.
Uh-huh.
And I spoke a little bit yesterday with Pat Kreitler. We talked about oligarchy. And if this is not the definition of oligarchy, I don't know what is. Elon Musk backed Donald Trump in the last election cycle with over $250 million in campaign spending. Let me say that again.
My goodness.
$250 million. And when the world's richest man decides that he wants to basically buy an election, he's able to do it. How can we call this a real democracy when one person can put $250 million into the election? And something we've talked about previously. If you or I was to give, to pick a number, $1,000 to a campaign, that would affect us. I think that would affect our spending in some way.
Yeah.
Right. We would have to say, well, I gave that money to a campaign, so I'm not going to be able to buy this or buy that. But with a guy like Elon Musk, he could give $250 million plus.
And it wouldn't even make a dent in his account. It'd be like a drop in a bucket or something.
And that's the thing. Do you think that he decided, here today, he's out, doing whatever Elon Musk does on a given Friday. And do you think that, he sees something and he's going to say, well, I can't afford this because I spent over $250 million on the last campaign. No, he's still going to buy whatever he wants to do.
No.
So, a man like this can spend, and you don't use this term loosely, unlimited amounts of money and yet not affect his life in one way. But the thing about it as well is about the system of government. The system of government that we live under. And, of course, there has been battles in court whether or not money is freedom of expression, of speech. Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how there should be a campaign, a finance reform on the amount of money we spend on political ads, because the amount of negative ads we had in this election was incredibly, overdone. There were so many negative ads, and people were paying all these big bucks to put these ads out, and it's like we need to have more regulation about how much money can be put into these political events, because the amount of money that they spend is ridiculous.
And the thing as well is the dishonesty, because one of the most brazen moves, according to the New York Times, in this amount of $250 million emerged only yesterday when the filings came out. Musk spent $20 million of that money to prop up a super PAC that was named after Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late liberal Supreme Court justice, but sought to help Donald Trump by softening his anti-abortion position. So he used a super PAC named after somebody that would be the complete opposite of what Donald Trump is about to prop up Donald Trump. Basically, you had $25 million towards his main PAC, America PAC, main super PAC. He cut three different checks for $25 million in each in the final weeks of the race. He also spent $40.5 million on legally controversial checks to voters in swing states who signed a petition in support of the Constitution. Constitutional warrior Elon Musk. Sheesh.
I think we need to redefine that definition.
Over the course of the race, he gave America Pack a staggering $239 million in both cash and in-kind contributions. I mean, it's disgusting. It is disgusting. We have to Absolutely. Do something about this. And I don't know what it is right now, because with Republicans in control of the Supreme Court, is Republicans in control of the White House coming up on January the 20th, Republicans in control of the Senate, and Republicans with a narrow majority in the House, there's no way they're going to change the campaign laws. But yet people know this is bad, and yet they keep voting for this. And I don't understand it. I don't know what the right answer is, because they apparently want lower egg prices. That's what it comes down to. But our democracy is crumbling under the weight of this oligarchy, and we have to do something about it, and I don't know what. But when you see a story like this yesterday, it just blows my mind. And one person should not be able to spend in one campaign cycle $250 million to buy their presidential candidate. Doggone it, this is wrong. And I hope, hey, I'm going to open it up again, folks. Do you have an answer out there? Am I missing something here? Let us know. We're going to open it up again later in the hour. Coming up next, we will be talking to Mike Clemens from Detroit. But later in the hour, we'll get back to this. Send us a text. Give us a call then. What is the answer to something like this? The time is 8:29. Information update is coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Well, last night, we are into December. We're heading down the stretch. We're heading towards the playoffs, and Packers and the Detroit Lions delivered with quite a battle last night at Ford Field. And, of course, our 98.9 WXCO sports reporter Mike Clemens was at Ford Field. He was in the locker room after the game. I don't know if he got any sleep tonight, but we're going to find out. As joining us is Mike Clemens. Mike, did you get any sleep after that one last night?
Just about an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's about it. But, quite frankly, still a little wound up. It was a great atmosphere there. I'll tell you, Chad, I think this is like the 21st time now I've covered Packers at Lions at Ford Field. And first of all, downtown Detroit in the last 10 years has made quite the transformation. It's just new buildings, remodeled buildings, decorations. It's really come along. It's a long way. And then Ford Field. Typically, the games that I would see at Ford Field, the fans didn't really get in there until about the second quarter. And then the team quit by the end of the third quarter, and they started leaving early. And about 40% of the seats were Packer fans sitting there in their green and gold jerseys. It was hard to find a Packer jersey there last night. And I posted a little video. It was like 30 minutes before the game even started, and this place is packed. Everyone's in there. They're playing the, We Will Rock You kinds of songs, from the Queen, We Are the Champions. They're all holding up their little cell phones, which are flashing blue and white lights. They have created an atmosphere there that almost seems like almost be in rhythm with the team, with each drive, which different turning points. It's a loud, nasty place to try and play a football game for a visiting team, no question about it.
That said, the Packers, you know, they fell behind. They were down by 10 points. It was, what, 10-0? Then it was 17-7 at halftime. They did not let that affect them. The Packers did come back in the second half, took the lead, and then it felt like it was going to be whoever had the football last. What was the main takeaway? What was there anything in particular that you felt was the difference in a game that went down to the last play?
I'll tell you about strategy in just a second. Here's one other thing that happened atmosphere-wise. They're going to hold out a giant American flag during the national anthem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they get those volunteers all around it. And some guy wearing a Lions jersey, number 32, Brian Branch, a guy with a beard, turns around and he starts looking at the Packers players standing there just before the national anthem, and he starts doing the slit your throat motion with his hand. Like, we're going to slit your throat. And doing some trash talk. Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers, says, hey, and he starts yelling at this guy and swearing at him. And then the guy starts getting into it with LaFleur, and finally some referees, the official game referees, come over to break it up with this guy before, I think, security got out there. I don't know if the guy was allowed to stay on the field then and do his bit to help hold the flag up, but that's the way the game started. LaFleur said after the game, I'd never had anything like that happen to me, like this jerk is, you know, this motioning to my players and stuff. The game gets started, and he decides to defer the kick. So they kick off, and Jared Goff, man, the guy, you know, marches down the field after a couple of close calls early in the drive, and they score. They score a touchdown. And the next thing you know, as you say, it's 70-7. Oh, when Jordan Love, first play from the game, you know, last year, first play from the game, he hits Christian Watson on a bomb, and the Packers were off and running. They put up 20 points. I think it was 20-6 or something last year in that incredible upset on Thanksgiving Day over the Lions here at Ford Field. But it was the Packers who were playing from behind. And Za'Darius Smith, of all people, the former Packer, who then went to the Vikings and then the Browns and then the Lions, had all these injuries. The Lions came into the game last night with 18 players on IR, on the injured reserve list, 13 of them on defense. And they're not only bringing up second-string, third-string guys, guys from practice squad. They're signing guys off the street like Jamal Adams, who once upon a time was a sixth picked overall for the Jets. Then he played for the Seahawks. He'd been with the Titans and actually quit this season because he didn't think they were going anywhere. 29 years old. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator for the Lions, knew him since he was coming out of college, out of LSU. And they signed him, and I think he got some snaps in the game last night. Guys are coming in off the street and giving, you know, Jordan Love and that Packers offense fits. And for me, I thought the momentum change was third quarter when Keyshawn Nixon picks off Jared Goff, who's normally a very accurate quarterback this year, in Lions territory. Packers are able to score and take the lead. Then I thought, oh, not now. Here's where the Packers can open up the valve and maybe take some shots and get at Jared Goff. No, it went back and forth down to the very end. And then the fourth down call. Were you able to stay up and watch?
Yeah. actually, real quick, Mike, along that line, because I'm sure you remember back in the NFC Championship game where Dan Campbell basically used his his style, and in some cases people felt like, you know, it may have cost them an opportunity to win that game and go to the Super Bowl after having that big lead. He did it last night where he went for it at their own 30-yard line. And then on fourth down where, I mean, all I'm thinking is if he does not get it and they don't win that football game, holy cow. I mean, I know it's his style, but man, oh man, I thought, you know, he's playing with fire again in a very big game when he was burnt big time in that NFC title game.
Yeah. I mean, the 49ers were able to take advantage of stopping him twice on fourth down, and some people think that, you know, that Dan Campbell blew the game against the 49ers because of it. Well, he was doing it again last night. He went for it on fourth down four times, one time from like his own 30.
Yep.
The Packers stopped him that time, and then, you know, Jordan Love and company came out, disbelief, ran a couple plays and got a touchdown. And so you thought maybe, but at the end of the game, Jared Goff is able to make a couple of completions downfield, some chunk plays, and then they've got it on the fourth and one. And so he decides to hand off to his power back, David Montgomery, who runs off to the right-hand side. Goff slips and falls. and still manages to make the handoff without, you know, a fumble during that exchange. Still manages to get the ball into the hands of David Montgomery, who finds a little gap and cracks through and gets a 7-yard game. And now, instead of just kicking a field goal from the 21-yard line, it would have been like a 36, 37-yard attempt, or maybe a little bit further back. They've got it now. They run another play or two, and they kick the field goal with 2 seconds left. It's a walk-off field goal, and Jordan Love is standing there watching without a chance to throw an Aaron Rodgers to Rodgers Hail Mary, like it happened years ago. And that's the way the game ends, 34-31 in favor of the Lions, who now have won 11 games in a row. That's a franchise record for them. Back in 1934, 90 years ago, the Lions had won 8 games in a row when their head coach's first name was some guy named Potsy. And in terms of the fourth down thing, they were 4-for-5 on fourth down last night, which also set a franchise record for most conversions on a fourth down.
Bottom line, as we look forward, because I think, and I mean, you were in the locker room, I would imagine, though, that the Packers, if they do find their way back to Detroit in the playoffs, I thought, you know, you talk about getting that fourth down run. I thought, for the most part, the Packers against the run were very good. They were able to keep Montgomery in check and everybody for Detroit for the most part. I imagine that there's still got to be a lot of confidence that a third time would be the charm for Green Bay.
The Packers, I was looking at Jordan Love, and, well, he's always pretty calm and cool. And, you know, it was as if, like, it was a week 3 or week 4 loss for them. Like, we got plenty of games left. And I think it might have been some things that Matt LaFleur said. I think most of that Packers team said to themselves, we made some mistakes. We still think we can compete with these guys. We still think we can beat these guys. We did, you know, last year when we were all a bunch of rookies or second-year players. But, you know, we lost on their field, and there's a couple of things that we could still work out because we're getting better each week. And so I think LaFleur went in there because when we talked to Josh Jacobs, the star running back, or Tucker Kraft, the tight end, both of them said, we'll probably see these guys again. And I'm like, oh, no, yeah, you played them twice. And then what they're saying is, we think the way this thing will play out now is that we'll have to come back here to Ford Field because the Lions, you know, will have clinched home field advantage, and we'll get a third shot at them, and we'll take that. We'll take that. So these Packers are still convinced that they can get to their goal of the NFC Championship game and getting down to New Orleans in the Super Bowl if they can just improve in a couple of more places here or there along the way. Now, they got 4 games ahead of them, right? They got to play the Seahawks, who are now 7-5 with Geno Smith at quarterback. Then the Saints, Taysom Hill had taken over quarterback, but he's now on injured reserve. Saints coming to Green Bay. Then they got to play the Vikings on New Year's weekend at U.S. Bank. That's a good team. And then they finish with the Bears at Lambeau. So those are the 4 games that the Packers are looking at, if in fact that there's going to be a spot for them in the NFC, perhaps as a wild card. But their chances of winning the division now are just, I think, completely over.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting, their next game, as you said, in Seattle a week from Sunday night, if the playoffs were to start today, that's where the Packers would play. So, I mean, there could be a lot of rematches coming up. You got the Vikings coming up, who are obviously going to the playoffs. So, I mean, you talk about, it's December. It is very interesting right now for Green Bay Packer fans and football fans in general.
Oh, I bet you that game had ratings on the roof. And you know, I don't think Jordan Love knew this. I said, do you know why you guys have so many primetime games now? I said, it's because when you played the Lions last year on Thanksgiving, it was 33 million. That was the most that ever watched that early Thanksgiving game in the history of doing that on TV. He goes, really? He didn't seem to know that. Well, guess what? This year in Thanksgiving and that great game that they played, you know, last week, they had 34 million. The Packers, whether it's Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and now Jordan Love, the Packers are one of the top 2 or 3 draws for TV in the NFL. That's why they put them there in all these primetime games as the season plays out.
America's team.
Well, they are, man. They, you know, and the ratings are there to prove it.
Mike Clemens, hey, I know it was a late night and a early morning. Appreciate it. Safe travels back to Wisconsin, and really appreciate your time and effort and every week and every day, in fact. But thanks again, Mike.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it.
That's Mike Clemens again. He was at Ford Field last night, seeing the Pack and the Detroit Lions. And again, I mean, it's if you're a Packer fan and a football fan right now, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun here in December and January.
Oh, absolutely. I think the one thing that really annoyed me about the game last night was when the Lions a player hit one of the Packers players. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. But he hit him in the shoulder with a helmet, and there was no flag called on that. But then when the Packers, there's a Lions player with kind of the same effect on the shoulder, they get a flag for that.
Well,
that seems a little...
Yeah, the inconsistency with calls is one thing that always frustrates fans. I mean, it's really that... And again, you have to... The game is so quick. These guys are so big. And again, sometimes it's not that easy. In fact, I was driving home last night, and I was listening to the game, and I heard that one of the officials actually got hurt. And that, and they actually were with one fewer official.
I heard he got... hit pretty hard.
Yeah, it's really actually hard to believe that doesn't happen more often, because there's 22 really big, really fast guys running around that field, and those officials out there, it's hard to believe that sometimes they don't get into the wrong spot, but it very rarely happens. But
and there was a Packers player, a Kraft. I mean, he got hit pretty hard, and he fell down, but then he just did like a Superman leap and just hop right up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's... Kraft is a sprightly player. I
didn't
like that.
See that play, but I heard it, and Larry McCarron on the radio was saying he did it, basically lifted up with his rear end. He kind of popped up.
Basically, that's what he did.
So I have not seen that. I have to take a look and see if I can find that. But, again, a tough loss, but, again, there's still so much to play for the Green Bay Packers as we head down the stretch. The time is 8:49. We're going to come back to this Elon Musk thing, because I would love to know if you people out there have – any idea how do we change this? Because somebody should not be able to get this much power because of their money. And I want to continue to kind of delve into that a little bit coming up in just a moment. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Again, my Donald Trump song. I could hear Donald Trump singing that, saying, America.
This song could be applied to Elon Musk.
It could be. You know, America, you're crazy to want a guy like me, but they do.
He's crazy for wanting to spend all that money.
I know it.
Or not wanting to.
He did it. He didn't have to do it, and he decided that he was going to try to buy democracy. And again, and ever since then, I think Elon Musk feels as though that he has bought his way into the power of the government. Because ever since the election, Elon Musk has become a presence at Mar-a-Lago, Mr. Trump's private club in Florida. He has been named to a position where he is supposed to lead an effort to try and trim the size of the federal government. He has been a voice that's been in the room when Trump has been naming some of these incredibly poor cabinet picks and other picks to lead agencies within the federal government.
And why is this, people? Because he has money.
And it's...
You know the saying that money can't buy happiness?
Sure can buy power.
I believe it can't buy happiness, but it can buy...
access.
Well, yeah, access.
Believe me, anytime Elon Musk makes a call to the White House in the next 4 years, that call's going through. If you or I called... it's probably not going through.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I mean, again, and the point I keep making as well is the idea where the average person who's a small donor to somebody that they believe in, that say, hey, this is a person that, whether at the local level, whether at the state level, whether at the federal level, is somebody that could do something well, that can help make their lives better, can make their communities better, can make our country better. I gave a grand total of $25 in the last election cycle. That's more than I normally give because I usually don't give money to political campaigns. I'm willing to announce it right here. I made a campaign contribution, and I will sell it. I guess I should be completely transparent. I gave $24 to Joe Biden. And you know when I gave $25 to Joe Biden? The day after the disastrous debate, because I felt like, doggone it, Joe needs a pick-me-up. Yeah. I'm going to give $25 to say, hey, I still think you're okay, Joe. It was a bad night, but you're still okay. But
see, I think that says something very powerful, because you don't have, like, millions of dollars yet.
Believe me, I don't.
You gave a little bit of your money because you wanted to help President Biden. And I think that says something about your character, and I think that says something about the person that you're giving the money to. Ooh, is that you actually wanted to make him feel better and make an impact and help him. And that is more meaningful than just giving millions of dollars to a candidate who doesn't give a crap about you.
You know, one other aspect to it, though, is I did not give it expecting something back from it either.
Exactly.
And I got to believe that when you put in $250 million plus into a very short time frame. I mean, Musk did not start pouring this money in until sometime in the summer. I can't remember exactly when, because he had not announced his official endorsement until rather late on in the campaign cycle. But the bottom line is, I'm trying to figure out where do we go from here? Because this should not be. And I'm talking about, and I'm not just talking about people that gave to the Trump campaign and to the Republicans. It's not good for super wealthy to give incredible amounts of money to the Democrats. Mm-hmm. In fact, I saw a story recently of Ben Wickler, who is the Democratic Party chairman for the state of Wisconsin, is running for the Democratic national chairman. He's known as a guy that's been able to do a wonderful job in terms of party building, but also in terms of raising money. And my thought is, well, I mean, it's great that Democrats actually raised Republicans during the last campaign cycle, but in the end, money does not ultimately guarantee success, but it also, I think, does guarantee poison going into the bloodstream of our democracy.
Absolutely.
So
again, there has to be regulations for against certain people to give money, and there has to be a limit on the amount of money that can be given to both parties.
Unfortunately, when you say there has to be, Russ Feingold and John
should be.
Well, yes, but I'm just going to make a point here because you're right. You're right in that thought. But John McCain and Russ Feingold, they worked for years on campaign finance reform, and they kept getting stopped and stopped by number one, by Mitch McConnell, who was the number one roadblock for all those years. And finally, they did get something through, but then the courts got involved. The Supreme Court of the United States, with its conservative majority, in a case called Citizens United, said, you can't have these limits. And the idea that money equals speech should not be based on how much money you have. We all should have the opportunity to use our voices and our speech in a way for our democracy. And then this oligarchy that has developed, and we see it in Russia, we see it in other areas of the world, it does not lead to good things.
So again, it's chipping away at a democracy, people. It's not a good thing.
And the thing is, there's hidden aspects. That Ruth Bader Ginsburg PAC, Musk was hidden until these filings came out yesterday. So we'd find out after the election about this. So again, it is. And the Ginsburg family was bitterly opposed to the ads that had the name under it. So, again, it's
just has to be pushback.
Absolutely. Hey, we got another hour to go. We will be joined by Paul Micklegg coming up in the next hour at 9:20. Talk some Wisconsin sports and have a whole bunch more, including our daily history lesson. All coming up on WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.